Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever sat down and wrote 10 things that you love about yourself that have nothing to do with your body and your appearance? I mean, no. If you really think about that, can sure you name haven't. 10 things? Like, can you even think of, like, what are 10 things about
that
me
that aren't my body?
That aren't my body that I really love about myself.
How do you feel about your body? Like, really feel? From postpartum body image to midlife mommy makeovers, we strip down and let it all hang out on this week's Band of Mothers podcast. Welcome back, breeders.
Banner Mothers Podcast.
We love you.
Hello. Hello.
We love you. We love your body. That's what we're here to share with you today.
We love your body.
Not in the loving sense. Not in the marital sense.
Not in the intimate sense, but we love
but
you and your body.
In the mother's sense.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is the bomb.
Your body is the bomb.
This is episode 3 of our mommy image series.
Mm-hmm.
And we are exploring really body love. That's a concept that people talk about, right?
That's a hashtag.
That's a hashtag.
Body love. Yeah, but so many aspects of it. We've been asking you questions on Soch about how you feel about your body's postpartum. And oh my gosh, so many great comments. So many beautiful just insights and shares. And then also, like, have you gotten plastic surgery? How do you feel about that? Just all sorts of aspects of body love.
I got to tell you something. So I'm going on vacation. You know this. I got to tell you, Trace. I'm going to be out of town. I'm going on vacation to Mexico. And I've been so busy. I just have not gotten to do, like, the intensive, you know, beach body workout system that I probably would have if I was just not this busy, meaning working out as much as I want. So I'm a little self-conscious, but I'm like, you know what? F it. I'm going with my family. We're going with close friends. I'm going to wear a bikini. So I order this bikini top because I only have bottoms. And by the way, the fact that you have to buy those separately drives me
nuts.
Insane. But I'm like, whatever. I'm just
also. I love that you can mismatch bikinis because I can't. Like that.
Like your brain would like.
No,
explode.
That's why when you showed it to me, I was like, "Where's the bottom?"
Oh yeah.
Like, I was like, "Okay, black's fine."
So I got this cute little sporty tie, like
super
sporty
cute
bikinis, and I have black bottoms. And so I put it on last night, like right before I got in the shower, because one other time am I just going to take the time to put on a bikini
at all?
And I walk into the playroom where my son is playing, you know, Roblox or whatever. And I go, "What do you think of mom's bikini?" Which is like the first mistake. And he looks up and he gives me the craziest face and he goes, "You have no idea how ridiculous you look right now."
Shut up. Bo said it?
Yes.
Your biggest fan said
that. I was
that.
Like, oh, well, no. I used to love you, but I mean,
dead
to me now. Of all the reactions,
I
thought he'd be a little embarrassed or like, "Oh, mom,
yeah."
You have no idea how ridiculous you look right now.
First of all, there's some,
it was so mean.
There's some paternal ancestral shadow in there that's very concerning to me, as we know how your family talks to each other.
Oh my God.
Second of all, fuck you, Bo.
Fuck you, Bo.
Oh, geez. So what did that do to you?
Nothing.
Because really? Oh, good job.
I mean,
and how do you think you
know?
Look in it?
I like it. I'm going to do it. I'm just trying to, like, this episode's taught me a lot.
Good.
I'm just going to embrace it and just, you know.
The idea that we ruin ourselves, we maybe not all do it, but we all think about it when you're on the precipice of a tropical vacation, specifically where you're in, you know, you're going to be in a swimsuit.
Stress ourselves out.
It's like you go into this spiral where all of a sudden you have to look like Heidi Klum.
But you know what?
But you don't. Nobody is going to look like Heidi Klum.
No, but it's like prom. It's like you spend all this time focusing on this one moment in time.
Yeah.
And then you're actually not who you really are.
No.
And then what? So you're just going to, it doesn't make any sense to, I mean, I get it because we all want to feel good. But on the other hand, like, yeah, you're going with your best friend.
My husband.
Your family. And it's Mexico. Like, every kind of body is going to be there and no one's going to be looking at you. No offense.
And I want my daughter to like feel fine about her bikini body. You know, like what's the, like, what, why would I be self? It's so crazy.
Well, also just, I want you to feel like you have a great body, but also who cares? You get to go on vacation.
I know.
It's no vacation if you kill yourself before your vacation.
No, but I do need to shave.
I'm going to support that decision. I still think it's insane to me that you've never waxed.
I won't wax.
I know she.
I'm not that hairy.
No, but you could just, it's just, I don't know.
Yeah, no, thank you.
And I'm very glad you're getting a spray tan. Those I am are very
so
helpful.
Those are just things that make you feel a little bit better.
And then Nikki, my hairstylist, always, this, she told me this years ago, and I've done it. Before you go on a travel vacation, get a spray tan because you automatically feel better because you're tan and then you don't have that pressure. You don't oversun actually, but you know, you've got that glow and which just is half of the battle.
My stomach's so white because I just don't wear a bikini.
And either get your eyelashes tinted or get eyelash extensions because
I haven't thought about this.
It just, with the tan and the eyelashes, like you just wake up feeling kind of hot and it makes all the difference. So just do that and skip the body shaming.
I'm not going to do the extensions because I feel like wiping my eyes in the ocean and stuff, like that's just going to ruin it. But I'll do the tint for sure. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Never done it. I'll let you know how it goes.
You should see about the extensions if they last in the, I think they kind of hold up.
No idea. Well, if you guys know, call us on the hotline and let me know. I literally have no idea.
Yeah. But anyway, I think you're going to look great. You got a new bikini top, which I'm sad about.
You look ridiculous.
Well, he can suck it.
Okay. So that brings us to today's episode where there's a lot of boob talk. We're going to talk a lot about what happens to your boobs, not only after you have babies, but just aging. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing interview with a mom who had the mommy makeover that we're so curious about.
The mommy makeover. I mean, we've been hearing about this for years. We actually met a mom. Remember the mom we met in Detroit? And she had twins or triplets and her body was just like ruined. And we were both like,
she felt like her body was ruined.
No, I think it like legit was ruined.
Oh, like it fell apart.
Like her stomach was just so stretched that there was no, and her, I mean, just everything was just stretched.
Yeah.
And we were like, how do you look so good? She was like, oh, I went to Palm Springs and got all this taken care of. And
oh, wow.
I was like, tell me more. So yeah, that's a thing where you get the boob job, the tummy tuck. I don't
all
know
at once.
Else. All at once, wow. I think. So we have that. And then
we have a song, which you'll hear a lot about. So it needs no introduction at the moment. But that's from our live show. And then, you know, at our live show, we have moms stand up and tell their own stories. So we have some incredible things that some women said at our Mommy Image live podcast recording here in Denver that we're going to be sharing with you, as well as additional mom messages from our mom hotline.
Including the wonderful Meg Boggs,
yes,
who is leading the charge in body love and body image in such a meaningful, eloquent, elegant way. And so we've got her on here too.
So if you like this podcast and you're enjoying it, please subscribe, please follow. That's what it's called on Apple apparently, but subscribe so that you get this every week and share these episodes with your friends if you feel like they need to hear it. We would be so appreciative. Leave a review.
Yes.
Follow us on Band of Mothers Official on Instagram so that you can see all of the things that we're asking for the bomb hotline. And for leaving a message, it's bandofmothers.com/share your story.
And also to that point, we'd love to hear your feedback and your takeaways from these episodes. So you can call us on the bomb hotline and just tell us how you feel. You know, that's important to us. We want to know that we're serving you in the best way possible. And we'd love to hear your reactions to these episodes. So let us have it.
Enjoy.
How do I feel about my postpartum body? I think I struggled with that question even before I had my daughter. I think I struggled with that question even during my pregnancy. I was someone who had dealt with an eating disorder in my past, the majority of my life actually, And I think those fears and those voices in my head creeped in as I watched my body change, my belly getting bigger and bigger. And it was hard to quiet those down. And when I had my daughter, even now, a little over a year after, I've struggled. I've struggled with not just postpartum depression, but add in those thoughts again, creeping back in, screaming at me, trying to deal with the idea of perfection and everything else going on in my head. It's been a struggle. And even though I can't honestly say that I've accepted my postpartum body, I can accept that I'm strong and I was capable of bringing in this beautiful little girl in the world. So I guess for now, I'll just stay in awe of my strength and hopefully that'll help me finally accept my body for the beauty that it has and the potential that it possesses.
So love and acceptance about my body after baby was really difficult because I felt like my body had sort of betrayed me throughout the whole pregnancy. I was a super healthy person prior to being pregnant, and I imagined that I would have a really healthy, wonderful pregnancy. But for 7 months, I was just so sick. It was like my body was fighting me, was fighting the pregnancy. And then afterwards, I was shocked by like how my bone structure changed. Weight had never been an issue for me before, and I could not drop the weight. I breastfed for 3+ years, and a lot of people lose weight during that time, but me, I just held it. And then with all of those years, there were saggy boobs and hanging nipples and hair falling out, and hormones were absolutely insane, which created a lot of stuff in my body that was uncomfortable. And I had to really, really try to find that love and acceptance. And I was lucky because I have an amazing husband who was super helpful and kind and loving and talked about how beautiful I was even when I didn't feel beautiful. And things started to shift. I guess one really amazing thing that happened post-pregnancy body was that all of a sudden my digestion was amazing, which it wasn't before. But outside of that, it was a lot of struggling, and I was someone who really felt confident and loved myself. So I can understand how women who struggle with that then go through this could really have a hard time. So it takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work, and it felt amazing to start to feel that love coming back, even when things didn't look like I wanted them to look, because it really isn't about that anyway.
Julie is a school teacher who's got 3 little kids between 4 and 8. She had them 24 months apart. It did a number on her body, and she was not happy with how she looked. Ultimately, she decided to get a mommy makeover, and we talked to her in between classes at school about her experience and why she's so happy she did it.
The first time I got pregnant, I weighed 118 pounds. My husband and I just finished doing P90X, right? Like, I was in peak physical condition. I had like bulging triceps, you know, like I was great condition. I was pregnant with my first son. I hit 208 pounds. I'm only 5'2". Like, I'm a short person.
Wow.
So I was like massive, right? At that point, I literally gained 100 pounds. Wow. And so I did manage to lose all that weight. But I had a C-section with my first child, and then a C-section with my second and my third child. And with the third child, I had a lot of complications. They nicked my bladder because scar tissue had moved my bladder into the wrong location. They couldn't access the baby. I needed surgery the next day. I look at my husband and I'm like, I'm so hungry. Like, why am I so hungry? I haven't eaten since yesterday. He's like, no, it's been 3 days since you've eaten. Like that's how like wild everything was. All these surgeries I had to do. And then at that point, it's like, I don't know. I feel like my torso is kind of, you know, not the way it should be. Right?
Shredded.
Yeah, like totally destroyed. So I had my tubes tied because they were like, if you have another baby, like this was a complication, like you'll have very serious complications if you have another C-section. So we did the tubal ligation, and which is very important for the mommy makeover. Okay, that's a very important note.
Oh,
okay. Oh. And so I was having back pains. I was going to the chiropractor all of the time. It starts to cost a lot of money to go to the chiropractor so frequently. And then like just physically, like I was so, I guess, self-conscious. Whenever I walked into a room, I didn't feel like comfortable just being present in my own body because it's not my body anymore. Mm. You know, it's like, I had all these children and they totally destroyed my body. Like your boobs turn into like deflated balloons, you know, like from breastfeeding and everything. And it was just, and I had that diastasis recti, I think it's called, when like the muscles are separated here. And so, you know, I wasn't able to like sit up out of bed. Like I'd have to like roll over and like put my legs over to get out of bed. And just like little things like that, like, when you yawn, did you know that like when you're like stretching in bed yawning, there are muscles here that you should be able to feel. And I couldn't feel them anymore. You know, it's like so much so I forgot that, you know, what it feels like to actually have these muscles attached and being able to do stuff. Right. So I was just like looking, you know, you hear of tummy tucks. I went online and I would say to my husband, like, did you know there's a such thing as a mommy makeover? And he's like, really? I'm like, yes, they just have their whole torso redone, right? So I went to the cosmetic surgeon in Pearl River. This was maybe 2.5 years ago, like right before COVID. And they gave me an estimate for the mommy makeover, and the estimate was $16,000. So I was like, oh my God, I have three kids. Like, I can't afford this. We have a house, we have cars and cats, and you know, like it's a lot of money. So I was like, I can't do it. I can't do it. So then COVID happens, and then I was getting like depressed, like sad, like because of the way that I looked and like the way that I felt, because I was in a lot of pain all the time. And my husband was like, I want you to go, and you are not allowed to come home unless you book a date, like book the date. So I was like, I don't know, you know, I can't do it. And he's like, no, you're not allowed to come home until you book a date. So I was like, fine. So I go, they give me another estimate for $18,000 this time, right? So
$18,000.
And I was like, I'll book it. I booked it. I just did it, right? I just booked it. And
so really quick, when you booked it, what were you booking? What procedures?
So it was the breast augmentation.
Okay.
And then the tummy tuck, and then like liposuction to the flanks here. Right.
Oh,
so like, okay. And all of that was included along with like all of the appointments and then the follow-up, like the M-Sculpt follow-up. You know what M-Sculpt is? Probably not. It's like they attach this machine to your abdomen and then it makes you do 20,000 crunches in 30 minutes. It's phenomenal. It feels like amazing afterwards. But
why don't we all have those at our houses?
I know. I know. But so I got two of those were included, and insurance does not cover it. It's another thing because it's cosmetic.
Can you explain the breast augmentation? Is that,
yes,
does that involve implants or is it just a lift?
It's, I just needed the implants. I did not need the lift, but some people get the lift done, they have their nipples redone if their nipples are, you know, from breastfeeding, like their nipples get destroyed somehow. So I just got the implants, which are these, like they're gummy bear implants. So they actually feel, they're like soft. And if you cut them in half, like they stay together opposed to the saline ones where it would like leak out, or if it like popped, it could like actually leak saline into your body, which is not great. So the gummy bear implants are like,
what do you call it? Gummy bear?
They're called gummy bear implants.
They're gummy.
Because they're like gummy bears. If you cut a gummy bear in half, it like keeps its shape of the gummy bear.
I have a quick question moving really quick going back. You said you were in pain a lot. What was the pain coming from? And then also, do you fix diastasis recti? Was that part of the tummy tuck or does that heal on its own?
Okay. Yeah. So that's something that, like any exercises, people say that exercises can fix the separation of those muscles in your stomach, but it can't. At least that's what the doctor was telling me. No exercise you could do will actually fix it. It can improve it, but it won't actually like bring those muscles back together. And I would say that I was in pain because like my posture was so horrible because I didn't have like the core muscles to like hold myself up and to walk around appropriately. So I was like slouching over and I noticed that it was getting like worse and worse. It was making my back hurt. Like my lower back was killing me all the time.
So do they can I get a gummy bear vagina?
Yeah, right. I know.
Just goes right back into its original form.
So how long did the procedure take?
So it was very quick actually. So I went in at 7 and I guess the operation was about 2 hours long. And then you lay there in the recovery room. So then after maybe, I don't even know, I was like in and out of consciousness and like, I didn't feel really any pain. Like it didn't really hurt. I'll be honest. It didn't really hurt.
And just to clarify, so you went in at 7, left at 1, and you got breast augmentation, a tummy tuck, and liposuction all
in like 2 hours.
All together.
Yeah. In 2 hours.
Wow.
And so part of the tummy tuck, what they do is they like, so like the excess like fat, they like pull it down and then they actually like remove it and they move your belly button. So my belly button is like a little higher than it was, but it's still my actual belly button. It's just like higher up. I have.
Oh wow.
Here, let me show you.
Wow.
Okay. Wow. So for listeners, there is a significant scar from the tummy tuck.
Yes. So now I'm only maybe 10 weeks after, like 10 weeks post-op at this point.
Oh, wow. You're freshly done.
Yes.
You're just at school, just showing us.
Okay. Now she's showing us her boob scars, which is like slits underneath your boobs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
It didn't hurt. I'd say my third C-section was so much more painful and the recovery was so much worse than this whole mommy makeover.
Okay.
My husband, he like picked me up and he brought the Suburban, which was like the worst car to bring because you have to like step up into it. Right.
Oh God.
When you leave, well, I left in a wheelchair, but then what they give you like an old lady walker. So
I just can't believe they let you leave.
Oh like, yeah.
Right after. It's so wild to me.
Yes. Yeah. So they make sure like you will wake up and you're okay. And the nurses there were amazing. And
are you wrapped up like a mummy?
Yeah, I guess. No, like, I had a binder. They give you like a binder on and then.
It's like it was a mummy makeover.
Yes. Yes. Like, yes. Right. So a binder and then a sports bra. Like I had a sports bra that I brought with me. And the sports bra has to zip in the front because you can't lift your arms for like a couple weeks after you get
medication.
Like you can't shower at all. So I went like, I don't know, 3 days without showering at all. Mm-hmm. And
like camping.
Yes. Yeah, I guess. But it's not like I was doing anything. I was just kind of laying there. They gave me a Percocet. Right. So the first night I took a Percocet and a muscle relaxer. And then the next day, and from that point forward, I just took 2 Tylenol. Like I took 2 Tylenol
in
the morning. And like, you know, 6 to 8 hours later, I took 2 more Tylenol. So like I said, you hear these like horror stories online and people are like, I was so much pain. And it was like, it was fine. Like, honestly, I probably shouldn't say this, but I was doing laundry like 3 days after, 3 days after I had all of this done. The part that like they kind of mention, well, they mention it, but you don't actually realize like the impact it's going to have is they put in these 2 drains that like they look like grenades. So there's like literally a tube. So like the edge of the scar that was over here, there was a tube coming out. It was so gross. And every day, every night I had to measure how much was in them in like a cup. And then I had to like recompress them, seal them off again and like write down how much liquid was drained out of the right and the left one. And I had to do that for, I guess, a week, 7 days or so.
Julie, can we just talk about the fact that you actually did the laundry? Like you had the best fucking excuse to not do laundry.
I know.
And you were like, oh, I got it.
I know. Because well, I'm bad being in stasis.
How did your kids notice that you had new boobs? I'm always curious.
They didn't know. And
no, they didn't notice?
No. And it's funny. I said to the doctor too, I was like, well, I want it to look normal. I don't want people to look at me and be like, oh, you know, those are, and he's like, people don't really notice until you're wearing a bathing suit. And at work, like the first couple of days when people saw me after the summer, they're like, wow, you look good. Have you been working out? I'm like, oh yeah. I've been working out.
Yeah.
Right. But I actually said to them at one point, I was like, does mommy look any different? Do I look different than I did before? And they're like, no, you look exactly the same. Like they have no idea that I look completely different. Like the bit, you know, the pouch that was like hanging down and like the big scar, you know, all that's gone. My boobs are bigger. They have no idea.
So what's your takeaway? Like if you were, what were surprising even better than you ever imagined?
Okay. So surprising, like I feel great. Like I can move. I can pick things up. I can like sit up. If I'm lying down, I could just like sit straight up. Like I feel so good. And I feel like I look good. Like I know I look good. You know, like I know I
do look good.
Right. And, like we went to a wedding 2 weeks ago and I had a dress that was like low cut in the front and I had like my boobs like propped up and like I looked like amazing. Like I know that I looked amazing. Like I feel good. Like financially, if you can afford it, like you can do it without, you know, going under, like do it. It's a game changer. Like a total game changer. Like this has totally changed my life. Like I feel good. Like I feel confident. I don't feel self-conscious now when I walk into a room and like physically I feel better. And then things that surprised, like I was very surprised that it didn't, like I wasn't in a lot of pain at all.
Well, I love this story. I love that you took initiative and that you had the support of your husband and you made it work financially. And most importantly, that you just feel so great. It seems like a total success. And it's like you got your mojo back to rock it with your three littles for the rest of their lives.
Yeah, yeah.
In your life, obviously.
And they'll never even know what happened.
I know. It's great. And like clothes fit better. I don't know. It's just great. I'm actually glad I was able to share this with you guys.
Amazing.
I feel great.
Well, congratulations on your new body. And we're so appreciative that you shared your story with us today. Thank you.
One of the things this is just a bit possibly of a different perspective, but I'm an adoptive mom. So we adopted my daughter. We met her when she was 16 hours old. I know, it's cool. But one of the things that they don't tell you in adoption class is that your body picks up hormonally when you get that baby. That's how advanced and how incredible our biology is. So what happened is I actually started to lactate. I know, but I was unable to kind of get there completely. And what happens is we as women, we hold grief in places in our bodies, our hips, you know, everywhere. But one of the places that I really held grief was in my breast because I was unable to provide for her. And there's this crazy thing where you almost, there are sometimes when you feel inadequate as a mom and almost like a imposter syndrome sometimes, you know, when you aren't able to do that. But then I got a breast reduction. And so now I have these new boobs and they're amazing. I actually call them titties. I've never.
Yes, you do.
I so do. I know, right? Because before I was always like, I got these jugs or something, but now I feel like they're titties.
Oh my gosh, that is. You.
I am getting breast reduction tomorrow after I milk the goats. Like, that's amazing.
But you know, when you were talking about things.
I have titties.
Yeah, you do, girl.
But you know, when you were talking about things like your new boobs and stuff, like, it was so interesting how when I got that reduction, I felt like I shed some of that grief.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really cool. So again, we do things to our bodies. Do whatever the fuck you want to do. Because it's yours. Do it to make you feel better. If you have grief, if you have shame, fucking get rid of it.
Yes.
Get rid of it.
That's amazing.
And that's all I got.
So this is a really difficult topic because I remember feeling as a child that having children meant you would be sacrificing a lot of yourself physically and emotionally and mentally, but mostly physically. I remember my mom talking about what she looked like before she had children, and it made me feel like I was the reason she didn't feel beautiful anymore. And I didn't want to have kids for a long time because I was worried, number one, that it would ruin me physically and emotionally and mentally, and that it would also create a situation where there were other human beings in the world that felt like they were at fault for how I felt about myself or, you know, whatever I lost. Anyway, so I decided I wasn't going to have kids. And then I decided that I was going to have kids. And so I did. And yeah, like it messed me up physically, emotionally. But it wasn't that bad. You know, my body's wonderful. It did amazing things. It brought these children into the world. And I never want them to feel like they're the reason that there's anything wrong with my body. And so I need to continue living as if there is nothing wrong with my body, because there isn't. It's amazing and it's beautiful. The biggest gift that I can give my children is to love my own body, how it is and how it was and how it might become, so that they can always know that no matter what body they're in and whatever phase of life they're in, that their body is good. And it's worthy and it's healthy.
Well, we have one of my favorite songs coming up, but before you are treated to a Shane Affirm, a ridge,
you are too kind.
We thought we would talk about the theme of the song, which is the song is titled Trophy Boobs, for any of you who have seen it live in a Pump and Dump show back in the day. It elicits a lot of audience response.
Yes, we. So the thought behind the song was simply because my aunt Tracy, I have an aunt Tracy,
and then a wife Tracy.
My aunt Tracy has amazingly large breasts, and she's gorgeous and very sexy and is very comfortable in her skin, and has always been like, boobs, who needs, you know, what are these boobs for? They're just trophies. They're trophies because I fed my babies. And so there's a lot to that, because there's a lot of people that can't feed their babies. There's a lot of people who are very unhappy with their boobs that fed their babies. There's a lot of things about our bodies postpartum, post-motherhood, post, or, you know, in this other half of our other side of our lives.
Yeah. Other iteration.
That I feel like it's a very complicated relationship that we have with our bodies. So originally the song kind of came out of this place where it was like, just as you'll see, so many jokes about breastfeeding and what it does to your boobs. But having performed it as much as we have, and, you know, really thought about this show, this particular episode, and how we feel about our bodies, there's a lot to it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, neither one of us were particularly massively successful breastfeeders. Mm-hmm. I feel like I failed more than you did. So I don't know that my boobs, I could only breastfeed for like 3 months and then it just all dried up and I had a series of infections and disgusting open wounds and it was awful. But so I don't actually think that breastfeeding affected my boobs as much as age has.
Oh, well,
you okay. know, I haven't noticed a particularly, like the decline that I'm seeing in my boobs is because I'm 45.
The decline?
The drop. You know, I didn't notice after Evie, you know, when I stopped breastfeeding, I didn't, you know, you just, you know, your body and that a lot of the stuff changed on my body, but I didn't really notice my boobs, you know, because I just, I have one kid. I didn't breastfeed for very long, so it just didn't take its toll. So even though I love that song, it's not really my reality, mm-hmm. which is your point that it's not
that it's
a lot
funny,
of people's.
And it's some people's reality, but it's not everybody's.
Well, and my boobs are trophies for many other reasons. They bring comfort to a lot of people.
Me as
you,
well.
You. But I think, again, the beginning of this point is I think boobs are trophies to a lot of people.
Well,
for boobs, a million reasons.
They've tried to kill 1 in 4 women. I mean, oh, over and
boobs.
Over.
Yeah.
Breasts. Have.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I remember thinking one time performing this song, which is such a joyous, fun song. And like in Dallas, remember like women were standing up showing us their tits.
Yeah.
It was amazing. And so fun. But then just thinking to myself, well, how does this make people who've had mastectomies feel?
Right.
You know, it's just a complicated, women's bodies are complicated from the very beginning.
They are. And, you know, we've talked about this constantly. Like we never want to leave people out or make people feel bad or something. But like, you know, I feel like I am above the norm in terms of reproductive complications and I'm mm-hmm. full hysterectomy, but I don't get sad or offended when people talk about their uteruses or, you know, like right. I don't feel... my reality is that I don't have that stuff anymore, but that doesn't mean that I feel excluded.
You've uterine envy?
God, no. I don't have a period. You do.
Yeah. No
I'm
shit.
Nothing envious about that.
Nothing.
I was sad for like 3 days, like at the concept of not having a period. And I went through this like small little blip where I was like, oh, I'm not a woman anymore. And then I got over that real quick.
Yeah.
Real quick.
And speaking of boobs, you're definitely a woman.
It would have been nice if the boobs had reduced slightly with the hysterectomy, just like evened it out.
But
in
then
terms
where
of...
would I snuggle when I'm sad?
I don't know. Oh, yeah, they're very large. But, you know, so it is, it's hard as a woman, especially when you have reproductive issues, to not feel like you're being betrayed or that you... are always in battle with your body. But that even I think happens with women from the very beginning because we have our periods and it constantly feels like it's a battle, you know? So I just feel like we're constantly at odds, even with the internal workings of our body, let alone how we appear or look externally. It's, mm-hmm. we're constantly struggling with living in this vessel, I think, as women.
I remember consciously not being ready, feeling like I wasn't ready to get pregnant and have a baby yet. And I'd been with my husband for like 10 years at that point, because I wasn't ready to let go of my body.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. And I remember saying that out loud to my sister-in-law who just had a baby because it was just like so on my mind. I just you know, gosh, we would think about it, but I just don't think I'm ready to just like let go of this.
Interesting. And it's so funny. I mean,
I was in my 30s.
Yeah. Well, and this is what's been a huge realization for me. And we know this because I've had a history of like body dysmorphia and issues. But like, I've never liked my body ever. Literally ever. So I was never worried about losing my body, even though I would kill for that 34 or 35 year old body now. I wasn't afraid of losing it because I hated her so much.
Gosh.
So it didn't even occur to me that I would be different. I was never worried about that because I just wasn't ever happy. I've never been happy in my own skin, which is a bummer.
That's sad to hear.
Yeah. On the plus side, I wasn't disappointed when I don't look the same.
just can keep on hating it, just no matter what.
And I have to say that the fact that I actually had boobs during breastfeeding time was like,
I mean,
the,
you still talk about
the
it.
Best days of my life. Like walking out of that shower, like when my boobs were first engorged, and just like walking to the living room with my mom and my husband standing there. And just being like, you guys, I'm sorry, but you have to see this. And they were just so hard. And yeah, God, what a dream that was for me.
Yeah. And the, I think two times my boobs actually were engorged, I was like, really? We're adding more onto this? Like, it was not fun. It was not fun at all.
Well, here's an exploration of how a lot of people feel about their boobs post-baby. And we hope that you enjoy it.
Me. Just kidding. Okay. There was a time my boobs were fine. There was a time my body was still mine. My chest was best. I felt so blessed. But then my breasts became much less. Yes, I know what they're meant for, but I don't need them pointing to the floor. I fed my kids, they left me this, my perfect tits I'll always miss. I was once engorged like a porn star, now they hang like sacks of cornflour. I was once so full and so savory, now when I'm on my back, they betray me. Trophy boobs. I tell myself they're just trophy boobs. What I have now is not ideal. Leftover pancakes from baby meals. I should have known when my milk was done, they'd end up swinging like pendulums. My kids have no idea what they owe me. My perfect nipples turned into baloney. I didn't know the day I weaned them I'd never again fit a penis between them. I was once all swollen and sexy, now my bras just lift up the messy. The deflated balloons, the beaver tails, the elf shoes, waist warmers, flapjacks, windsocks. Here's our bananas to our bags of rice. Here's to us, here's to what mama made. Throw your Mardi Gras beads at our teddy parade. Trophy boo. Were fine. There was a time my body was still mine.
Several episodes ago, we interviewed Meg Boggs, body positive influencer and author of Fitness for Everybody. And her message of encouragement as she dismantles our society's old belief systems about health and body size while bench pressing over 200 pounds is so inspiring to us. We thought you'd like to hear a little snippet from that interview. So here's what she has to say about why she does what she does.
The only reason that I even like cared enough to start investing more time in Instagram and my platform was because of the community, because of the women that would reach out to me and say, you know, I decided to go to the gym today. I decided to wear the bathing suit with my son today. It's those those messages, and I get them every single day, those are the ones that I hang on to and the ones that give me that strength to say, you know what, like, I'm gonna, no matter what these people are telling me, I have to keep doing this because it is making a difference. What I'm doing is making a difference for women and people who are struggling and not feeling represented and not feeling like there's anybody who's in their corner saying that, no, like, everybody else is full of shit. Like, they really are. And they're trying to make you believe something so that they can take your money, so that they can profit off of your insecurities. Mm-hmm. And at some point you have to think and reach that, you know, I am not just a body. I'm not here as like a decoration for society. I am here for all of these other things. Like, I have so many other qualities, and that's a lot of what I'm trying to learn about myself so that I can teach that to my daughter, so that when she is a little bit older and we're having full on conversations that aren't about like her poopy, it's like, then at that point I can tell her that she is more than a body. I can compliment her on her, on how like artistic she is. I can compliment her creativity and her strength. And I can actually focus on all those other things that make her who she is. And I'm hopeful that the whole, like, my appearance and my body and how I appear in the world outside of my home is so, so important. And it's like, I don't want her to think that. I want her to have that be a secondary thought, that like, she's going to go out into the world and she's going to use those strengths and those things that I've been building her up with to use that as her force and her power so that she can make a difference in whatever way she's going to make a difference. And she won't go into the world thinking that her only purpose here is to have a certain size body and to have, you know, certain style of hair, even though, you know, I do my best with mine.
Yeah, we gotta just have a little flair every now and then.
Yeah, you know? Every now and then. Like, I just, but it's because the reason that I was able to do this to my hair is because I felt confident in myself as a person.
Yeah.
First.
I love your message and I'm 100% on board with it. I'm also 100% on board with the bruises I have on my face from filler as we speak. And my fake boobs. Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm just saying, I love all of that. I think you should love who you are. But I also think it's okay to do what you want to do to love who you are. I guess that's my only message. So,
yes.
I mean, yes, as moms, we're taught, like, we can be this nurturing, caring person, or we can be hot, or we could be this different thing. Like, I don't feel like, I feel like we lose that message in between the two of it. It's okay to say, I don't know, I have Botox, I have filler, and I also take care of my kids 900 hours a week, and I cook every meal, and I think that's okay too. So I think it's beautiful to embrace who you are, but I also think it's totally okay to feel super hot and fashionable and stylish and sexy and like who you are. So I think that that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you. I hear that.
Well, I just keep learning and learning. Loving your body. Not quite there yet, but I'm wrapping my brain around it.
I find it fascinating how many different responses we got on our Instagram, for example, when we asked this question, because there are so many women who were like, I'm fine with it. Mm-hmm. And there are so many women that have like been like, it destroyed me.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the middle?
It's in your heart, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's coming to a place of love. There's no other way around it. It's not in your mind. And it's not how you physically look, because none of that matters in the end. It's coming to a place of love in your heart. That's it. Because what else could it be? Our bodies can defy us or change in any moment of the day, of the year. It could change in an instant in any number of ways. It's just allowing yourself to rid yourself of all of that external disappointment or expectation.
Well, but I also would say that it's connecting your mind and body, because you are going to feel shitty about your body if you treat your body shitty, right?
Well, for sure.
You know, so there is this middle ground where it's like, can you do things in your life to make you comfortable in your skin? Can you shift your brain to take care of this thing that we have that you know, held our babies, whether you had a baby physically or not, you know, can we get rid of the constant criticism and embrace the power that our bodies have? And I think there is a difference between just being like, all right, in my heart, this is who I am and I'm fine with it, which is part of it, but also how can I teach my children to understand their bodies when something's wrong with it? You know, how many people live, they have cancer, they don't even know. They're pregnant, they don't even know because they're so out of touch, disconnected 100%. Mentally from maybe taught to hate their body, you know?
That's, again, yes, but I, the more I study things, like it isn't, we assume it's mental, but it's not. But I do appreciate what you're saying. Like, for sure, you have to. But I think if you come to a place of love, if you come to a true place of loving who you are, loving your body, you naturally don't want to treat it bad, right? Like you, it's the same way you naturally love your child and you naturally don't want to treat your child bad. Right. You know, it's because it's all love. It's when you get in your mind and you think, well, I can do this, or I'm allowed to do this, or fuck it, I'm going to not do this. Or, I, you know, like that's the mind. That's the sugar addiction. You know, that's the instant gratification. That's the numbing out. You know, that's the guilt and shame. That's all in the mind. That's not from the heart. Your heart's not telling you to do that. Mm-hmm. Your mind is. So it is coming to this place of like harmony with your whole body. And like you said, it's so, you're so right. Like feeling your body, understanding it. And, and you're so right about teaching our kids. Yeah. I mean, it's like, we were never taught to listen to our bodies. And my, you know, my daughter just went through sex ed, and it's like, there's so much more to your period, you know, that we all need to know, just even that, like, in allowing yourself to listen to that, like resting and, you know, and acknowledging, you know, just, yeah, finding out that things don't feel good. And then even on an emotional level, feeling in your body when something doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Just an emotional thing, you know?
Yeah. I hear that. Well, yeah, it's chicken or the egg, heart or the mind, right?
Yeah.
It's, I guess that's why it's so important for them to work together.
Yeah.
But I'm really proud.
Bikinis.
And by not matching or matching bikinis, what's your take, ladies?
That was a very strong feeling.
Obviously you do. Follow us on Instagram at Band of Mothers Official, and you'll see the things that we're asking you, because as you can tell from this episode, we really want to hear what you have to say. And if you enjoyed this episode or you know a mom who could use it, go ahead and send it along to her. Make sure that you are subscribed and tell your friends to subscribe so that Tracy and I can continue to bring you this massively entertaining
and enlightening.
Enlightening podcast.
Nourishing for the heart, mind, and soul.
Which one's first?
Always the heart.
We'll never know.
Always the heart. Love you guys. Don't forget to listen to Band of Mothers podcast weekly on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Band of Mothers podcast.